Daryl and Ruth Crank. Good morning and welcome. And you've probably heard me say to other submitters, we've read the original submission, so thank you very much for providing that. You've also provided some evidence in advance, so thanks for doing that as well.
And that statement that...
we've got the one pager that's been...
Yeah, that's just what I was going to read today.
Yeah, that's good.
And you've read the other statement that went on with the...
Yeah, we have.
So I don't need to go over that again.
No, you don't. So that's
so
the advantage
keep it
of
really
it
short.
Yeah, it makes the hearing a lot quicker if we get that stuff recirculated. So thanks for doing that.
Okay. It's time to consider it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so just the all I'll go over then is the one that I added this morning, which is we understand the need to have a land and water plan. But we feel it is important that it does not restrict the varying management practices that do not result in negative environmental impacts. We feel that the plan does not adequately recognise the impact of varying classes of stock, especially with regard to intensive winter grazing, farmed at different stocking rates, and in doing so is presumptuous of management practices. We believe a plan based on effects parameters which allowed farmers to continue to develop their management practices would have a more positive effect on the environment in the long term. It is important that the plan does not place too much of an onerous burden of compliance upon farmers and in doing so lose their positive buy-in. The burden of additional costs and time, such as for resource consent applications in situations where industry best practice management techniques already exist, will be an unacceptable outcome for farmers who are already trying to work within their financial constraints and time limitations to improve environmental results on farm. Accurate risk analysis based on physiographic zone, stock type, stocking rate, low nitrogen outputs, and management best practices should be taken into account on those farms with low risk profiles, being able to comply via their farm environmental plans, not resource consents, thus reducing needless time wasting costs for both farmers and environment staff and going forward. We are happy to answer any questions the panel may have.
Great, thank you very much. Morris has started wearing.
Well, I was just looking through those photos, other than that one up there. We've got a number showing steep slopes.
Yeah.
Can you go explain those, what they're there for?
I wanted to explain for once with the steeper slopes, if you go through a little further.
Yeah.
See, in this one, that's actually what we would use as a natural buffer zone, so it's going to be a lot bigger than the setbacks that are set out in the plan, but that's naturally where it works. But we want to be able to get in and graze that and tidy that up before the 1st of October, which the plan would restrict us and not being able to do. Which is what I say about if you're using some best practice, but then you're limited in how you can manage those things going forward. So that was just to indicate that for us in our topography, some of them and natural buffer zones are a lot greater, but it's logical to use those. And also the photo, I think, following on from that, there's a couple that just show, well, that's again those same natural setbacks. And if I think the last one, parts of this are steeper. When we talked about the topography and the 20 degree slope, there's some of those bits, but you can see there's a flatter run out before you get to the waterway. So we still want to be able to cultivate those as part of the patch that we're working out.
Yeah.
As part of the whole, right? And when you have to take the cultivation area over a 20 metre slope, you can see, well, that is 20 metres and it's going to be steeper, but the rest of the paddock isn't. So it's balancing that on the whole.
Are you saying you'd want to cultivate those steeper slopes?
No, the bits that aren't cultivated in that, we don't want to cultivate. We only want to cultivate what already is in that. So we wanted to show you what that actually looks like in practice, so you can kind of see some examples. Yeah. And I think the last photo after that one shows another paddock with... And you can look into that, and that's a work paddock, and you can see on this right-hand side of the photo that there's quite a steep piece in that, but where the waterway is at the bottom of the hill on the face. So you've got quite a big setback area, which is natural, and the steep part is running out to quite a flat piece itself, which isn't running to the waterway. So in practice, the reality is a lot more complex.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to bring that picture to you so you can understand.
No, the photos are really helpful to help us understand.
And so that there are some small segments in the paddock that are definitely in excess, but not 67 degrees. Where's 67? Being gone from before, not that steep, but there are some pieces that are, and I think, you know, we are conscious of how we manage them. We want to protect our soils. That's our asset. So that's really important to us. We don't want to see that getting washed away, and so we're very careful in how we do manage that. But there was some suggestion, I think, in the 42A report that I read that said we could just not work up those steeper parts of the paddock, but the reality of that is still impractical in some situations.
So how do you manage gorse and broom in those situations?
Well, that's what we're saying. In those setback areas, we want to be able to get in and graze those off when the environmental conditions are good and the water's not saturated. Obviously, you're not going to go near them this week. So that you can graze that broom down, and we put that in what we said earlier, that we want to be able to do that with the right classes of stock at the right times. If you've got a good opportunity, weather and wise, to get in and do that and keep on top of that broom and things that naturally will come away, that if we don't, because we don't want to turn those into waste areas, because when that paddock goes back into pasture, that is where a lot of our ewes will go down and eat a lamb and be naturally sheltered and then move back out onto the paddock once the lambs are 24 hours old. So they're a very important part of our property for our balance. To not have them permanently fenced off, you know, we still want to be able to access them and have them adequately grazed.
Thanks, that's good.
Any other questions?
Good morning. I think you were, in your evidence, you're talking about using young stock to graze those rough areas.
Yeah, that's right. Use hoggets or something so they've got less impact on the ground, like that sort of work around in that, compared to running dairy cows or other stuff. Is you're definitely going to have less mud or tramping, so if you do get rain, you're going to have hardly urinary runoff at all.
I think a lot of other submitters have touched on that this morning, the different classes of stock and different intensities of stocking rate. Makes a difference to the impact on them.
And on our hill paddocks, we don't feed out any supplement feeds like baleage or hay or anything else, so you've got less time they're in there, so they're not doing the same amount of damage. I think some of these newer crops like fodder beet, and that's high yielding, and then they stack out lots of baleage and hay, and so you've got a high number of stock there for a greater time, which has definitely got a bigger impact.
You go in for a quick graze and
And like yesterday when it got wet and started snowing home, I run 1 mile of hogs off because I could see they're going to be quite a mess where they're going to be if I left them there. So.
Yes. In your evidence, you talk about the two properties having bedrock hill country, one with an overland flow variant and the Kaiwera block not having a variant. How does that affect your management of those blocks? Does that alter the way you manage your... The fact that they're the same.
See, if Kaiwera is flatter, so it's definitely less. I run more cattle over there because it is flatter, so I do have less runoff. I need a lot of the hill paddocks off at home if I have got crop on them with a lighter stock, like hobbits or something like that. I use.
So, did you say the Kaiwera block is the flat?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I was trying to find where you are.
I know.
Whereabouts are you, these properties?
This one where these photos are taken is 225 Wattery Range Road.
Between the Tower
East
or on the
east,
east of the road. East of the Matera.
And the other property is at 209 Quartier Road, Kaiwera. 209 Quartier Road.
Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-Q-U-R-
there.
We've got it over here now.
Yep. Yep, so the 209 Cortier Road is where our smaller block is, which is the flat one. And 225 Warri Range Road. That's where our home block is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, fairly familiar with the area, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Any other question?
No, I'm fine, it's good.
It's one, it's more of a clarification. You raised in section 6, intensive winter grazing, which was picked up earlier, the time period between May and September,
yeah.
And you're suggesting that for different classes of stock and different activity, that it is restrictive, and August or September is better for different classes of stock. So I understand that, and that is actually a management tool to actually look after the issues that you're raising.
Yeah.
So you're actually getting, if I understand it correctly, you're trying to deal with the spring growth at an early stage and not let it get out of hand. Is that
our hoggets are usually wintered at our home block, and then they're shorn and they go to our Kaiwera block in spring. So we want to be able to tidy those areas up with them before they go. And because we lamb at the start of September, you can't go in and graze that when it's rougher with lambs that put that on it.
Let's
go back. So it's to be able to do it practically.
So am I clear that for some of the photos you've had, one class of stock has gone over the work ground and then has exited the property, so all that ground is effectively black, and another class of stock comes in and ties
no,
up
the No, we want to do it with the same one.
Yeah.
So the hoggets that are grazing that, last bit they graze, we want to tidy them up and
before they exit.
Yeah.
Where there's a medium and it's dry.
You know, and if we get a good window to do that, it could be that it is earlier than 1st of October. I'm really concerned that the way the rules work, leaving it to the September inclusive for the winter, that everybody waits to the 1st of October and then races in, regardless of what the weather is in that week, to try and tidy it up. I mean, it's not necessarily best practice to do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just a couple of points from me. In terms of the photographs you showed us and the buffers that you're already leaving below your cultivated areas, are they subsequently grazed with beef cows or just with sheep?
Sheep.
Okay. And in your evidence and also in your submission, you raise the issue that you'd like the consents required for cultivation, you'd like it to cover a 3 to 5 year period.
If we have to go down that road.
Absolutely.
Honestly, we prefer not to.
I
think
that.
That's been reiterated by everybody else, so it's a very common thing. But the concern for us is, we need to plan ahead and know what we're doing over a reasonable time frame so we can go and get on with it.
I fully understand that, and all the point I was going to
and
make.
And without it being like a resource consent for one paddock, if we have to get it, let's cover off what we're going to be doing for the next couple of years and so we can go forward with certainty.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that's a common theme, and so I think we can usefully. And there's nothing in the plan that currently indicates that you will only get a consent for 1 year. There's nothing that prevents a consent being issued for a much longer period, but I think that's something that could be usefully clarified. And also in terms of it covering the whole farm operation, isn't that's a consistent theme, so I think we can certainly address that.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much for coming in and making your submission to us. It's very helpful.
Okay,
thanks.